The Kyoto Agreement to cut greenhouse gas emissions goes into effect today, minus the biggest polluter, the United States. President Bush has rejected the agreement, saying it would harm the U.S. economy. But dozens of other countries have pledged to reduce carbon dioxide from power plants, cars, and other sources. NPR's Richard Harris is here to explain. And Richard, tell us a bit about this Kyoto Agreement. What does it compel countries who have signed on to it to do?
Well, there are about 140 countries, or a little more than that, who've signed on to it, and most of them actually don't have to do anything at all. Developing countries just sort of have signed on to the concept that it's a good thing to think about the global climate and ultimately maybe to do something about it. But about 35 industrialized countries actually have taken on commitments to cap their emissions and start to reduce their emissions of carbon dioxide and other gases that contribute to global warming.
And so will it have the desired effect in reducing greenhouse gases worldwide?
Well, we will see how much effect it has in terms of whether people can reach their targets is the first question. They have till 2012 to do so, and targets range from, actually, some countries say they're going to actually experience small increases, and some countries say that they're hoping to reduce their emissions fairly significantly. But even if everyone reaches the targets that they have proclaimed they are going to reach, it actually will not make much of a difference. And that's for a couple of reasons, one of which is that some of the world's biggest contributors are not on board, not only the U.S. and Australia, but also China and India and other large countries are not part of the protocol in terms of having to reduce their emissions. Beyond that, even if everyone reaches those limits, the point of fact is these gases are building up so much in the atmosphere, you'd actually have to cut them back by about 60% or maybe more globally before you really would stabilize the atmosphere. And that is a tough, tough target.
60%. Wow.
Yeah.
It was negotiated 8 years ago. Why did it take so long to go into effect?
Well, the treaty requires a certain percentage of the world's emitters to sign on to it. And Europe was very eager to do so, and Japan signed on quite rapidly, as did a lot of the non-emitting countries, or countries that didn't have any obligations under the treaty, I should say. But getting that last signature took a long time. It had to be either be the United States or Russia in order to put the treaty into effect. And U.S. decided not to sign on to it. And Russia took its time trying to make some deals, I think, with Europe about what else it could get in exchange for signing the Kyoto Protocol. Russia finally signed on to the treaty in November, and now, 90 days later, the Kyoto Protocol goes into effect.
Any chance the U.S. will sign on to a similar treaty in the future?
It's hard to anticipate exactly what's going to happen. I think U.S. businesses are recognizing that eventually they will be called upon to cut emissions and to find ways to produce energy and products with less carbon dioxide and other gases that contribute to global warming. The question is whether it's going to be in the form of a global treaty like this or some other mechanism, I think, is really up in the air right now. What we are seeing is a lot of action on the state level. Many, many states are undertaking programs, and they're all different from one another. And that, as much as anything, might compel the federal government to come in and say, whoa, 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 too much going on here. Let's come up with one single consistent set of rules. And that ultimately might be what pushes us into something like Kyoto down the road.
NPR's Richard Harris speaking to us from Washington. Thank you.
My pleasure.